Overcomers, being an overcomer tonight. Here when we get into the text and we get into Revelation chapter number 2 tonight and 12 through 17, we're going to be looking at the church at Pergamos. And we're going to look at some things that happened there, some things that went on. There was all kind of monuments, all kind of false gods that they was worshiping, that they were going all about. And I want to share that with you tonight. Pergamos was in a hot seat. They were right where Satan's seat was. You're talking about a church being planted in a place that they did not want a church. They was planted right in the heart of where Satan was having a heyday. And I want to share that with you tonight, how to be an overcomer. I want to say this. You may work somewhere like that. You may work at a place that feels like Satan's having free reign all the way around you. You may be in a place like that this week. And you say, preacher, how can I be an overcomer? I want to show you that tonight. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 12. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 12. And the Bible says tonight, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write these things, saith, he which had the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Verse 16, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him, there it is, that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying he that receiveth it. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, we thank you for the prayer request that's been lifted up. We pray tonight for Miss Grace to have clarity, Father, and what needs to be done there. Lord, I pray tonight for each and every prayer request all around this room tonight. Lord, I pray tonight for the one that'll be going to Atlanta, Father, tonight and tomorrow. And I pray that you just touch his body from that cancer. Lord, I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Father, I pray all over this room tonight for the ones that are hurting and this needs a touch. Lord, I pray you'd reach down from heaven tonight, touch their bodies as they're in this building, touch the ones that couldn't come tonight, Father. Lord, I pray for the unspoken request that's all around this room tonight. Even though we didn't mention it, it's already in our heart tonight, Father. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let the study we study tonight, Father, show us how we can be an overcomer tonight, no matter how hot it gets around us, Father. We can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony tonight. Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Calvary and I thank you once again for that blood. I thank you for the songs that was sang. What a day that'll be, Father, and a rescue story. And I am free, free, free. Father, I thank you for that tonight. And Lord, I pray when we leave this place that we'll be right where you'd have us to be. We ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight when we come, being an overcomer. And I want to look tonight of how to be an overcomer tonight. And as we go down through this, it's going to get more in depth. But I want to share with you tonight that the church at Pergamos, and I hope you got a handout tonight. We was passing them out as we come in. But at the church at Pergamos, it was great in that city, and it was noted for its vast library containing over 200,000 volumes. Here we were splendid temples of Zeus, which had been over 950 foot tall, or Jupiter and Athene, Apollo and Aesculapius. And the city was caught up in worshiping these idols. They was worshiping these idols instead of worshiping God. And Christian stonecutters were killed because they refused to carve the image of Aesculapius. And this was one of them gods there that they had. And if you understood this tonight, that was the one they was really wanting them to worship. And what they did here when they got there, they were stonecutters that were cutting stones and making replicas there. and they wanted them to make a replica of Aeschylus here, and they wanted them to make replicas, and they wouldn't do it, and it cost them their life. But as we read on, it says that it was an emblem of a serpent that was intertwined. This emblem of this serpent was intertwined on a staff, and folks came from miles around to be touched by one of these tame snakes. They said at nighttime, these men, they would get there, and they would tame these snakes, and if people came and they was able to be touched by one of these snakes, they would be healed. And tonight, I want you to get this. They believing that these snakes had healing powers. So the Bible says, I know thy works where thou dwellest. He said, I know what's going on all around you. There is a lot of kind of doctrines going on. And you know, in the world we live in now, people still believe in snakes and how you can handle snakes and you can do all that. You know what? I pastor this church, but if you whip a snake out in here, it's going to be a dead snake. Can I get an amen? I'm not fooling with no snake. I'm not fooling with that. I don't need a snake to be lifted up to be healed. And Jesus Christ said that if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men. Amen? And the same one that'll draw all men, hey, will heal all men. But tonight as we get into that, they believed this, that they had healing powers. So the Bible says, I know thy works and where you dwell and where Satan's seat is. So how do we overcome as a Christian and not let the world filter in into our life? How do we do that tonight? How do you do that in your workplace? How do you do that in your home life? How do you do that in your Christian life and you don't let the world filter into what God has called you to do? You've been saved, and how do you keep that from filtering in? You know, tonight if somebody gets born again and they're on fire for God and then they fall off, most people says, well, they need to be born again, or evidently they didn't get saved, or they didn't get right, or they didn't do it right, or they didn't do this, or they didn't do that. Can I say to you tonight that a saved person, if you're not careful, you will let the world filter in your life. It'll filter right in. You say, preacher, how does it do that? Number one, by the phone you've got in your hand. If you've got a phone in your hand, it can filter through, the world can filter through that phone. It can filter through the TV that you watch. It can filter through by the people that you let in your life. But tonight we see in verse number 12, he says, if you want to be an overcomer tonight, number one, it's going to be by the sword of the Spirit tonight. He said, and the angel of the church at Pergamos write these things, saith he, which had the sharp sword, which had two edges. And tonight that is the word of God tonight. If you want to be an overcomer tonight and you want to be victorious in your Christian walk and you want to have a walk that not only pleases God but you can be pleased of tonight, it'll be because you apply the Word of God to your life. You've got to have a Bible study. You've got to have a time you read that Word. I thank God for Sister Vicki and the Bible buddies that we got and being able to read that with our kids. You say, preacher, what is the importance of the Word of God? How important is the Word of God? I want to give you a few things. Number one tonight, if you're born again, it is the root of your salvation. Tonight, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Word of God is the root of your salvation. The Bible says tonight it is the root of being born again. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, a seed that has no corruption in it, and that is by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You know, the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but His Word never will. This Word will always stand. You can't destroy it. You can't do nothing with it but accept it or reject it tonight. So the sword of the Spirit that he brought here in verse number 12 was the Word of God. That is the root of being born again. But can I say to you tonight, not only is it the root of being born again, but it is what releases you from a bondage that is in your life. It'll release you from a bondage that is in your life, some kind of sin that's got a hold of you. You take somebody that stays in the Word of God, you take somebody that reads that Word of God and applies that Word of God in their life, they won't be under the bondage that a person will be that doesn't read the Word of God. And tonight, that this book is what changes your life. This book is the Word of God. It is God tonight. It is in written form and it comes to us tonight. The Bible says in John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth. Hey, can I say to you tonight, the only truth in this world is the Word of God. Amen. Woo! It is the Word of God. This is the truth tonight. It don't matter what anybody believes or anybody teaches. If it goes against this book, it is false and it's a lie and it will not stand. This book is what will stand when everything else falls. So he says tonight, we're by the root of being born again is that Word of God, but it releases you from bondage. The Bible says in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The more you read this book, the more you're going to be set free in the life that you live. You don't have to live under bondage tonight. You don't have to live under a burden tonight. You can live free, 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 Kaylee, tonight in the blood of Jesus Christ by the written word tonight. So I see tonight that the sword of the Spirit, number one, it's the root of being born again. It releases you from bondage and it repairs the one that is broken tonight. It repairs the one that is broken tonight. You read this book tonight and you got a broken heart, it won't be long, it'll be healed. This book will heal you tonight. This written word will heal you tonight. I promise you, folks, listen tonight. If you're sick tonight, get in this book and read this book. This book will heal you tonight. It's the root of being born again. It releases you from bondage, but it repairs who's broken. Psalm 107:20, the Bible says, if you'll turn with me there tonight, I want to read this. As we turn to Psalm 107 in verse number 20 tonight, this is what the Lord was telling the church there. He said, I know you're under bondage. I know a lot's going on, but you stick with that two-edged sword. You stick with that book, and don't you waver. Don't you give in. You stick with that book, it will do you good in your life. Psalm 107:20, here's what the Bible says tonight. He sent His Word. He sent this written Word to us tonight. You know what tonight? You take a man or woman out of the will of God, they're not reading the Word of God. I'm just saying. You take somebody out of the will of God, they're not reading the Word of God. You take somebody that's born again, wrapped up in sin, the last thing they want to do is to read the Word of God. The last thing they want to hear is somebody telling them the Word of God. They want to get out of, man, I've seen places in my life I've went and sharing the Word of God, and it's like a hot seat. They want to get out of the room. They don't want to hear it no more. As long as you don't bring up the Word of God, bring up the Bible, bring up Jesus, they'll talk all day long. But you bring that Word up, and they're ready to get out of there, because here's why. He sent His Word, and what does it do to a person when they receive that Word? It heals them. It heals them. He sent His Word and it heals them and delivers them from their destruction. You know why? Because what? There's been times in my life I thought that was the right thing to do, but I've read that book and I realized just because I thought it was right, that wasn't the right way to do it. And as I read that book and I understand it, if I'm going to be an overcomer, I got to do it by the way the book says. But I see number four tonight, that Word of God. He said, this is what you're going to have in your life to be an overcomer. And he was telling this at the church at Pergamos before he ever scolded them. He was saying, hey, the Word of God is what you need. You know what? Tonight he says, that Word of God, it'll get down in your bones and you'll be able to rejoice because of it. You'll be able to rejoice because of that Word of God. Look what he says tonight in Jeremiah 20 and verse number 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I'm done with him. I ain't me and the Lord, we ain't doing this no more. Jeremiah said, I'm done. I'm a weeping prophet. I've wept over the nations. I've done all I can do. Have you ever been there? You've done all you can do. And you say, man, I don't know if I'll ever be an overcome. I don't know if I'll ever overcome. You know how you're going to overcome? Because that Word is in you. Look what he says tonight. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You know what that means? That means a child of God that's out of the will of God, when that word, you get that word, you get reading that word, you get back in that word, you ain't going to be able to stay in that old sinful state no more. You're going to have to come out of there. You ain't going to be able to do what you used to do. You ain't going to be able to stay. You're going to have to come out. You know why people quit coming to church? They want to get away from the Word. They don't quit coming because of you. They don't quit coming because of me. They quit coming because that Word's cutting. They quit coming because that Word's coming. He said, well, preacher, the church should be a place where we go. There's no judgment. It's nothing but love. It's nothing but grace. It's nothing but mercy. Oh, no, the Bible says that judgment, this time, judgment is to start at the house of the Lord. That's where judgment starts. If a sinner walks in the back door lost, hell-bound, and he walks in this place, he shouldn't walk out feeling good in his sinful state. He shouldn't walk out feeling good that everything's good, and I can walk out and live the way I am, and it's just, oh, heyday. That's not what church is. Church is when you walk in and the Word of God's being preached, it's being sung, it's being prayed, it's being promoted. Ain't nothing in this place but about Jesus. And that's what changes people. It is that Word. Man, I love singing just as much as anybody. I love singing. But I don't love singing near as much as I love that Word. If we become just a singing church, we're a dead church. If you become just a singing church, you'll become a dead church. If all you can handle is the singing of it, just singing, 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 it won't be long. You become a dead Christian. It takes that Word of life is what comes inside of you, and it fills you, and it makes you, and it grows you, and it does things in your life. And he told that church there at Pergamos, he said, you got to have this two-edged sword. You got to have it. Because it's got two edges. It cuts going in, and it cuts coming out. And tonight he said this. Let me show you this in the text, what he said. He said, it is the Word. It is sharper than any two-edged sword tonight. It will rejoice in your bones. But he said not only that tonight, that we got to have that sword tonight. We got to know that tonight. But he said also know where Satan's seat is. He said know where it is and stay away from it tonight. Know where Satan's seat is and stay away from it. Look with me in verse 13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. He said, I know exactly where problems lie, and I will try to get you out of them, but you've got to stay away from it. Everyone that was there and seen these statues in this town that people was worshiping, they had an opportunity to worship them or worship the true God. In the world you live in right now, you have the opportunity to worship things of this world, or you can worship the one and true God. And tonight, here's I want to give you this. He said, knowing where Satan's seat is in verse 13 through 15, and I wrote this down, knowing where Satan's seat is, number one, you must be aware of Satan's attacks and don't be involved. As a Christian tonight, if you're going to be an overcomer, you've got to know when that attack comes from Satan and when it's not. There's been times in my life stuff's come my way and I know it didn't come from the Lord. You ever had something come to you and you finally, no, that ain't of God. I don't need to go down that road. I don't need to answer that person. I don't need to get into that. Human nature wants you to get in that. Human nature wants you to get in that hot seat. Human nature wants you to open your mouth, wants you to expose yourself. You say, well, if I'm thinking, I might as well say it. Oh, no, if you keep your mouth shut, they don't know what you're thinking. They might say, I know what you're thinking, but if you keep it in and let the Lord fight your battles. Let me give you this. Aware of Satan's attacks and don't be involved. 2 Corinthians 6:17, the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch the not unclean thing, and I will receive you. He said, be aware of Satan's attacks. But he also says, number two, alert others. Alert other people about Satan's attack. Satan's attack is to mix the world with Christianity, okay? It is to mix the world with Christianity. It is to mix the world with the church in here. It's to allow anything out there to creep in here, and it's okay. Well, if we stand against it, preacher, if we preach against it, if we stand against all these sin that is in the world, if we preach against it, stand against it, we're going to lose people. If we don't preach about it, we're going to lose people. They're going to die and go to hell. I'm just going to preach. That's where we're at. You know how many churches that want to be social clubs? And as many people as they can get, you come. I want you here. You don't want that. You don't want that. Listen to me now. You want to be a church that stands on the truth. When they come in that door, that's just the way it is. We don't change for nobody. We stand by that book tonight. He said, listen, they're worshiping things that's not true. They're going to lead you to fornication. They're going to lead you to unclean things. And if you're not careful, they'll creep in amongst you. The world will creep in, and what you used to thought was wrong, what you used to thought was sin, and you wouldn't do, it won't be long. You'll be elbow to elbow with them. And he's told the church at Pergamum, he said, don't you get there. You stay away from it. Don't get tangled in it tonight. Be aware of where Satan's seat is. Let me give you this. Alert others about Satan's attack. Satan's attack is to mix the world with Christianity. Persecution would not turn them, but the worldly lifestyle would. Let me give you this here. He said, do you remember my martyr, the one that got killed, that was faithful? His name was Antipas. He was a faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. You know, he didn't get killed because he was going with the crowd. They slew him because he was going against the crowd. They wanted him dead because he was going against the crowd. If you're getting any pushback in your Christian life, it is because you're going against the crowd. If there's no pushback, you're probably lined up with the crowd, and they can't tell the difference in you and the world. And he said here tonight, he said, you be careful because you know where Satan's seat is. Alert others. And I wrote this down, and I believe this so much. Number three in that second part. Be careful what or who you accept in your life. Be careful who or what. You be careful who you allow to come into your inner circle. He said, preacher, I thought I was supposed to win them all. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You be careful who you allow to come in. And you be careful what you allow to come into your life. He told them here, he said, listen, a man's lost his life over this. He's been faithful. He's been faithful. He's been faithful. And he said, but look here in verse 14, but I have a few things against thee. And here's what he said. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. He said, that's what they're doing. And you do not let them in among you tonight. Is everybody welcome here? Yes. Everybody's welcome here. But not every doctrine's welcome here. The Word of God is what we need to stand on. And that's what he was telling us. He said, I'm coming to you with the truth that'll defend you and make you an overcomer. But you've got to be careful what you let in amongst you. And you've got to be careful who you let in amongst you. Folks, tonight, as we come to this local body tonight and we meet in here, we want to be just as safe and secure and open-minded as we can be here. We do. We want to be that way. We want to accept people. We want them to come in. We want them to be amongst us. And we want them to do that. But you've got to be careful in the world we live in. You've got to be careful. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, means it. And tonight, we got things in place here at this church. If you're going to teach a kid in the kids class, if you're going to be in the kids class, you've got to have a background check done. You just don't get to run in the classroom and being in there with our kids and being in there. You don't want somebody in there that has molested kids. You don't want that in there. You don't want that amongst your kids. Well, preacher, they got saved. Well, glory to God, hallelujah, they got saved. But you still don't want them with your kids. Why? Because you don't want that there. That's just like me tonight. I don't do meth no more, but you don't want to put me in a room full of meth. The alcoholic in the room, it's no different. You've got to be careful. The alcoholic in the room tonight, he's been saved, he's not been drinking, but you don't stick him in a room full of liquor. You be careful who you let in and what you let in your life. You be careful tonight. And that's what he told him. He said, you be careful. Number one, he said, if you're going to be an overcomer, you make sure tonight that you stand on that word. You stick with the word. And you be careful when you watch and you know where Satan's seat is. You be careful. And I've shared this illustration before, and I'm going to share it again. I hadn't been saved very long, but I'd been born again. And we was at home, and Kaylee was little, and I was laying in the front of the door there, and the sun was shining in. I was throwing her up, playing with her. She was real little there. I was throwing her up and playing with her. And when I threw her up one time, I looked up, and there's this man standing at my door. And I hadn't seen him in years. He was one of my old dope buddies. And, man, as soon as I grabbed her, I just held her in the air, and I looked up, and I just handed her off to Brandy, and I opened the door. I said, what are you doing here? He said, oh, man, what's up? I said, no, what are you doing here? He said, man, I ain't seen you in a long time. I figured we go. I said, no, what are you doing here? Who told you you could come here? He said, well, I thought we'd get back to hanging out. I said, no, I don't do that. I'm born again, washed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't do that no more. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, I want you out of here. He said, that's rude, preacher. No, it ain't. His intentions wasn't good. His intentions wasn't coming to know Jesus Christ. His intentions wasn't coming in and reading the Bible with me. His intentions was to lead me down the wrong road. And he wasn't sent there by God. Not everybody comes to your door sent by God. You've got an adversary, by the way. His name's Satan. He said, man, I got dropped off at your driveway and walked up here. I said, where do you want to go? He said, can you give me a ride to Hamilton? I said, is that where you're going to go? He said, yeah. I said, hang on 1 minute. I went to the house, told Brandy, I said, hey. She said, what? I said, come on. She said, I am not going. I said, you got to go. I'm not going. I said, you've got to go. I can't get in the truck. He said, preacher, was you that weak? I'm that weak today. You are too. You keep dealing with it long enough and same way. You got to get a mindset, I'm not doing it. I'm not looking at it no more. I'm not touching it no more. I'm not going down that road no more. I know where Satan's seat is, and I'm not getting into it. She said, well, okay. We put Kaylee in the car seat. She got in the front. And when we pulled up where he wanted to drop off at, before he got out, I said, hey, listen here. He goes, what's up, man? What is it? I said, don't you ever come back to my house again. Ever. You're not welcome there. You wasn't invited there, and you showed up for not good intentions. All right. He opened the door and got out. He said, preacher, that's hard. My sobriety, my salvation, my family, my testimony, my Savior, all this is all I can think about in my life, folks. You know how many people want you to fail? You know how many, Brother Eric, wants me to fail, wants me to go back with a needle in my arm, wants me to go back to where I, you know how many people wants me back there? Satan wants me back there. And he sends the enemy every day right there amongst me, and I see him. And you know what I got to do? I got to be aware of it and say, well, I'm going to stick on this word, and I'm not getting bound up with you. There might be somebody here tonight, you might need to hear that, and that you got to stand up to them. Because if you don't, you know what? You're their buddy. And it won't be long. You keep letting them come around, and they'll infiltrate everything in your life. I don't know about you, but he's done too much for me, and he's brought me too far to get mixed back up with that stuff. So, preacher, what you going to do if he calls wanting to know about Jesus? I'll grab me an Eric Cruz, Les Carr, David Barnes, Connor Robinson, grab somebody. We'll go witnessing to him. But he ain't coming to the house hanging out. Can I get an amen? Let me show you the third thing here tonight. You say, preacher, you act like you take that serious. Man, it cost me everything at one time, and I'm pretty serious about it. He says, number one, there's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Number two, knowing where Satan's seat is. But number three, he said, I got a solution to your situation that you're in. I got a solution that'll help you. He said, I got a solution. I got something against you, but I got a solution that'll help you. Look with me in verse 16 tonight. He says, here's all you got to do. And the Lord makes it easy. He don't give you a whole list of things to do. Here's what you got to do, man. Repent. Turn. Get away from it. Repent or else. Not repent if you want to. Not repent if you think it's... He said, repent or else. You know what that means? That means get right or else. Get in line or else. Repent is a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior. A Christian must not tolerate worldliness and wickedness. They must not tolerate it. You must not tolerate it on your phone, on your TV, on your radio, in your truck. You must not tolerate worldliness and wickedness. And he says this, if you will repent, look what he says, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He said, I want you to repent. And then he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. To him that overcometh, to him that stands on the word of God, him that watches that Satan's seat, gets away from it, don't mess with it, and the ones that repent, I got a solution for you. To him that overcometh, he said, I'm going to give you something. I will give you to eat the hidden manna. If you'll repent, you can see here, you will receive hidden manna. You'll receive something you didn't know you had inside of you. You'll be able to stand when you didn't think you'd be able to stand. You'll be able to say no when you didn't think you had it in you to say no. That's that hidden manna. That's that manna that's daily in your life. Look what he says here. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He said also there in the text, he said, you will receive hidden manna. Have you ever been hungry and the Word of God just fed you during the day? Starving to death, and get a little crumb here and there, and it just gets you on to the next guy. He said, there's a solution to your situation. If you'll repent, you'll receive hidden manna. And he said, you will be rewarded with a white stone. He said, I'm going to reward you with something. In the Roman and Grecian games, the ones that finished first with their torches still burning, received a white stone. Matthew 5:16, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, I want you to finish your course with your flame burning bright. Flame burning bright. Flame burning bright. Also, a white stone was given to a slave that was set free. Kaylee, I am free, free, free. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And they received a new name. Let me give you this. Isaiah 62:2, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. I wrote this down if you're reading your notes. Where is your stone? Have you received your stone yet? He said to those that overcome, you received your stone yet? Have you received it? He said, hey, I'll give you a stone. He said, preacher, I got to wait until I die to get it. No. He said, I'll give you a new name. What's your name tonight? If the Lord was going to name you tonight, what would be your name? Faithful? Forgiven? Wonderful? Child? Beautiful? What would be your name? He said, I'll give them a new name. To those that overcome, I'm going to give them a new name. I don't know about you, but I don't have the same name I used to have. And you know what? I can tell it when I get around folks. I was around a man today, and I run into him. Didn't want to run into him. And I pulled up. He pulled right in behind me. Thought he was going to hit my car. I'm honest. And I got out, and son, he jumped out on both feet, running wide open. And he come up to me, and usually a while back, he would use language. Let me leave it there. And today he got to my door, and he was telling me some things now, don't get me wrong. But he never used a cuss word, and I sat there and waited on it. I was just listening, had my ear open. Didn't use a cuss word. Didn't use, now he was coming unglued now, don't get me wrong. The Bible says be angry. It's okay to be angry, but he says sin not. Be angry. If you don't ever get angry, you got problems. We all get angry, don't we? Yeah. Brandy, first thing she'll tell me, said, I got this house clean. When I get home, it better be clean. Like I mess it up. You know what I'm saying? But I realize when I get around people that I have a new name, don't you? I'm not who I used to be. They know it. I don't have to do, and the ones that don't know it, I do have to remind them that who I am. And no longer am I that lifestyle. But he says, to those who overcome, you'll get a white stone. To those who've been set free, and you'll get a new name. You get a new name. Me and John Stidham was together one time going to look to buy a truck. And we pulled up at a car lot going to look at a truck, and we got out, and I said, we walked in front looking around. I said, what do you think about that truck, brother? He said, brother, I don't know. He said, man, I was looking, brother, and we brother. And that man said, y'all don't look like brothers. Y'all brothers. I said, yeah, we brothers. And we had to explain to him why we were brothers. Your language will give you away. It'll give you away. Your language will tell if you got a new name. Your walk will tell if you got a new name. Who you walk with will tell if you've got a new name. Who you run with, you can tell a lot about a man by the company that he keeps. Tonight, here's what he said. He said, I give him a new stone, and I give him a new name. I wonder tonight if the Lord named you, what would it be? Faithful, forgiven, honest, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. He told that church there, he said, I know where you're at, I know what you got going on, but you've let some stuff slide in, worldliness that shouldn't be there. And as a Christian tonight, it don't take long to let the world slide in, does it? It don't take long. There's been times I've been in conversations, I was going to keep my mouth shut and I wasn't going to chime in and I wasn't going to get on their bandwagon. Golly, bum. It wasn't 5 seconds, they done got chime, and I got chiming in with them. I ain't get away from them good. And I done, man, Holy Ghost done whoop me up one side and down the other. Had to repent. Anybody ever been there? He said, I'm telling you, if you'll stick with that word and you'll watch that hot seat there and don't get in it, stay away from it. He said, I got a solution for you. Tonight, I don't know about you, but I want to be him to say he's an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you as we're going through the book of Revelation, we see all this just laid out before us, Father. Lord, how that you applauded them for how good they've done. You applauded them that they was the word of God, how it was there, and you applauded them. But Father, you got there and you said, but nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. They let the world slip in. Lord, here at Union Chapel, we want the world to come to hear the good news. We want to influence the world and the world not influence us. And Lord, I'm asking you tonight that if there be any worldliness or wickedness found in this place, that you'd rent it and you'd clean it up and you'd make it right. Lord, I pray that tonight, that you'd start with the pulpit before you ever went to the pews. Lord, that's my prayer tonight, to stay right where you'd have us to be. Father, I thank you for this body of Christ tonight. I thank you for this local body that assembles. And Lord, I pray, my prayer is that you have nothing against us tonight. Lord, that we be found doing what you've called us to do. No matter how hot it gets, no matter how much comes against us, but we stay true to that blessed book. And Lord, you bless your people good tonight. I ask that in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say, amen. You are dismissed. Love on somebody.